We were under the impression, Senator, that you passed legislation specifically to ensure that you wouldn't know. Or perhaps more accurately, that you didn't want to know.
I'm aware of the law, Mr. Shannon. Thank you. I wrote it. But I don't remember when I was drafting it that I anticipated a large portion of the south side of Chicago blown up. What assurances can you give me and this committee that this event will never happen again?
None, Senator. The incident in Chicago was tragic, to be sure. But sometimes that is the price we must pay to ensure our competitive edge in the future. We didn't intend to pay for our space exploration program with the lives of 10 American astronauts, but we did. Nevertheless, we must not waver in our commitment to technological and scientific research and development. As you gentlemen know, there are many threats to our way of life, and not all of them wear uniforms and carry guns.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Retro Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to steal a hovercraft on the ice, but then just like spin it around and then he gets caught, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. I'd say that's probable. I didn't even know they were a thing until I watched this
movie. Oh, really? Because they have them in like in the swamps too, in like Louisiana.
I know about those. Yeah. I'm going on one this weekend, but did not know that they were applied to Iceland.
That is true. I didn't know that either. I really appreciated the line when he's like spinning around and Rachel Weisz is like,
What are you doing?
And he's like, I'm doing my best. Absolutely love it. Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the podcast where every week Perk and I review a movie that's connected to the last movie we watched. If you like our show, we post on Friday mornings on podcast services and now on YouTube as well. So go check that out and subscribe. But last week we watched a little movie called The Farewell, and we liked it quite a bit. And we decided to follow Tai Ma over to this week's movie, which Perk selected. I'll put that out there. Chain Reaction. Perk, why don't you intro it for us?
Yeah, all right. So Chain Reaction is a 1996 joint directed by Andrew Davis, starring Keanu Reeves, Rachel Weisz, and Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
What a cast.
What a cast. Absolutely stacked.
It follows the story of a research team at the University of Chicago who cracks the code on hydrogen fusion or fission.
They say fusion in the movie, but I'm not sure if it actually
whatever.
Was.
It's extracting hydrogen from water,
mm-hmm.
which actually, I don't know. Is that really that hard?
Don't think too much about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
They're going up to 2 million Kelvin per
and like, yeah, basically the they crack the code and then immediately like competing espionage agencies and the CIA and FBI,
mm-hmm.
they all are trying to track everybody down and kill them and because they can't have the secret getting out. Yeah, a couple fun facts. Apparently, this was just like a miserable production.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The scene with the airboat on the lake, they could only shoot a couple takes per day because, you know, lots of wind and cold.
Yeah, the amount of times they mention the cold in this movie, I think, is really telling.
Well, it takes place in Wisconsin in the winter.
Yeah, and which, Chicago, like, right?
And Chicago, which wild. Yeah. Wild setting, honestly, but I dig it. Keanu Reeves, before filming, injured his back and neck playing hockey in Canada because he's
Valid.
Canadian,
Valid.
As they do. And the fun fact says the injuries caused him to gain weight, which explains his look in the movie.
Well, he looks fine. He's wearing like a jacket most of the time.
Yeah.
But like, I don't give a shit.
He definitely doesn't look shapely.
It fits like the Midwest setting. Like, it's cold.
Yeah.
You know, we're wearing jackets and stuff. Like, it's
drink beer, you know. And then the drawbridge sequence took a week of night shoots, which were filmed in -5 to -20 air temperatures.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they don't film a lot of movies in the Midwest.
Yeah. It's just not a fun time. Well, there you go. Perk, you got us into this. Now I need to know, what did you think of Chain Reaction?
I loved it, unironically. I had such a fun time watching this movie. I was anticipating it to be like so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was just like kind of awesome. This movie rules. So that's what I got for you.
Yeah, no, this movie's not that bad. Like, I was watching it, like, this is actually a pretty solid story. Like, an idea for a story. Characters are fine. Action's actually pretty well thought out. Like, the bridge scene, the set piece is really cool.
The set pieces are crazy. The bridge scene, the airboat that I didn't even know existed.
Airboat's awesome. Yeah. How they break out of the containment at the end, where he uses the tank pressure to push the trap door. I'm like, that's never seen that before in a movie. That was really cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think the weakest part of it is, like, the script and the line delivery sometimes was just baffling. Like, there is when the second hydrogen bomb goes off and the FBI is flying in on a helicopter, and, like, one of the guys just goes, whoa. Like, it's just, you get, like, they just cannot imagine the scale of this, because obviously it's not real. But yeah, I had a really fun time with it. It was a solid movie.
Yeah, I was so surprised. Because, okay, given, Rotten Tomatoes is not the be-all, end-all, but this had, like, a 20% critic and, like, a 50% audience. And bad movies end up with 80% audience scores. So, yeah. I don't understand how that many people, like, vehemently disliked this film.
Yeah, no,
I thought it was pretty fun all the way through. The pacing is a little weird.
It's moving, though. I appreciate how fast it goes. Like,
I was going to say it maybe goes a little too quick, but, you know, you're never bored because of that.
Yeah.
The acting is a little stilted, but I think, you know, Keanu Reeves and Rachel Weisz are fine with what they have to do. They don't have that much to do. I think they have good chemistry together.
I agree.
Morgan Freeman brings a gravitas, which always. But I think lends really well to this character, because it's one of those things where, like, you see Tom Hanks, well, he must be the good guy. You know, you see Morgan Freeman, well, he's obviously, like, the omnipotent, helpful dude. And it's like, oh, well, but maybe not.
Maybe not. Something's going on here. Yeah, that was a nice little twist. I'm like, is he the bad guy? But he's not, like, full bad. He's in between, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Brian Cox is the real bad guy. He's a little cartoony, but.
I thought he was terrible. What was that accent?
Yeah, good, it was bad.
Lord.
It was a bad accent.
So inconsistent with that southern drawl. Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Also, I recorded, but at one point when they're running back to the reaction room, he's running like this.
Yeah, I saw that.
I just died. I died laughing. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, no. Oh,
it's amazing that he's, like, a massive award-winning actor now in Succession. In this movie, he's just, like, pretty bad.
He's just bad. He's, like, the worst actor in the movie.
Speaking of acting, I think that Rachel Weisz is probably my favorite performance, just because, like, you know the scene where she gets the first, like, fake facts from Ty Ma's character? I'm like, yeah, his name. And,
Chen.
Like...
Dr.
Chen. She's, like... tears are coming down her eyes, like she's like really emotional, and I'm like, Rachel Weisz has given it 200% on this acting and this script, and Keanu are giving her nothing. Like, she's just acting her ass off, and it's just not worth it, you know. But she, I thought she was great. Like, I agree. I think her and Keanu's chemistry was really good. And I'll say, Rachel, if you're listening to this podcast, if you need anything, just call me. All right, I'll do anything for you. Anytime, anywhere, I'll be there.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. Keanu, I've just, like, come to appreciate this from Keanu, where he doesn't act much. He kind of just runs around and does cool stuff.
Yeah.
And
I think this is one of his better acting performances,
it
though, if I'm
being
honest.
Honestly, he, like, as a character, he has more to do than John Wick, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's just a down-to-earth guy, and he acts like a down-to-earth guy. Like, he doesn't
except for the
have
fact
any,
that
like...
he's incredibly tactical and has all these insane MacGyver skills, but, like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, the MacGyvering I can believe because he's like a machinist slash scientist and also an undergrad, but also he got kicked out of a school for blowing up a building, so maybe he's like older. It's very confusing what his background is, but I can believe the MacGyvering. I just appreciate he didn't have any like cheesy one-liners, you know?
That's true.
Like, the only one-liner in this movie is actually incredible, which is Morgan Freeman's one-liner to Brian Cox when he's like, your retirement's already been planned or whatever. I'm like, that was badass. You got him.
I liked that scene. I liked that scene where he offs Brian Cox because they do the cool cutaway to like a wide shot of the elevator and just bop, bop, bop. And we're like, uh-oh.
Yeah. And you know Cox has a gun in his pocket, but we don't know Morgan Freeman had one.
It was set up, actually.
Oh, I must have missed it then.
There's there's really nothing in this movie that isn't set up, which is a good thing because there's not a lot of plot holes. But
yeah.
And like from the first scene where they crack the code on fuel, like Morgan Freeman's talking about how we can't let this get out. It's like, well, yeah. Okay. He's got a sinister motive, but
yeah. I will say the fact that they solved it by just a random ass frequency that Keanu found on accident, I was like, okay, is that even possible? Like, I'm trying to remember this physics. Is it possible an audio frequency could actually help with that kind of thing? Like, and also, when they're doing their experiments, the whole apparatus is fucking shaking. I'm like, that is not good. Like, you did not build this well if your whole thing is shaking and you're going up to like 4 million Kelvin or whatever, which seemed ridiculous. Maybe that's accurate. I don't know. But I'm like, there's no way in hell it's 4 million Kelvin. You're also just like behind one sheet of plexiglass. I don't know. You get mad over the quantum stuff in Ant-Man.
I was going to say, did you like Ant-Man 2?
This is my cross the bear. Did
you like Ant-Man 2? Because then you better step off your pulpit.
I don't buy it, all right? I don't buy this lab setup, okay?
I just didn't care, honestly. I went into this movie with my brain off, and I think that's the best way to do it.
I mean, I don't know. It's not as dumb as other movies of this genre, I feel.
I will say, you know, it has more of a message than Terminator.
Yeah.
Terminator's like, what, AI bad? Maybe save the planet, I guess. But this one's like actually like dabbling into like the geopolitical climate of fossil fuels.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing is like Morgan Freeman's whole thing is like, if you give this away for free, it's going to like crash the economy. You know, and is he right? Even if that happened, would that be the worst thing? You know, and you understand, I believe him enough to like, I understand why you're doing this for that reason. It's not just pure capitalistic. Well, I guess it is at the end of the day.
It is.
It's not just about like, we need to have this only so we can make money off of it, which I thought it was going to be. I thought like the oil lobby was going to be behind it as the villain, which that would have been kind of cool. But
I mean, arguably they were, you know. Potentially, however much money you want to give the government. So,
right.
But I thought it was incredibly topical and pretty well thought out. Like, moral of the story.
Yeah,
you know, I totally agree. This life saving energy that's entirely clean and will save the world. But oh no, we can't just let this go out. And obviously, there's you know the motivation of crashing the stock markets and whatever. But also, it's motivated by big oil companies are going to lose all their money.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, I feel like we've seen, maybe I'm just making this up, but I feel like we've seen a few movies on this podcast or maybe with Bonus Reviews too of like older movies that talk about climate change and stuff like this. And it's like, man, people have been talking about this for so long and we still have done jack shit in the real world. Like, it's just really depressing. Like, this movie came out almost 30 years ago and it's like, oh, still done nothing.
Yeah, we're still there. And something like this is super believable that if someone ever cracked the code on some sort of clean energy, that they would immediately get hunted down and killed and the idea smothered out. That's like super believable.
Yeah.
I also like the way that it's handled with this like mysterious C corporation.
Yeah.
Where like we're not sure when they're being pursued by cops or by you know, just employees like CIA of this, agent.
Yeah,
of this undercover company.
Yeah,
which I think adds a cool dynamic to the chase.
Yeah, and I think FBI were the kind of stooges, but not too stupid.
Like they were supposed to be stoogy, but yeah, they're not the dumbest.
Yeah,
of stooges.
Yeah, and they were a fine addition. I did think it was weird. I think it was weird though. Like they would just walk in to like see Morgan Freeman say one thing and then leave. It's like, Could have been a phone call. It could have been an email. I don't know. It's like this dramatic tension. Email. And then we walk out. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Morgan Freeman did a great job of, like, towing the line between his, like, is he good? Is he bad? Something's going on here. And, yeah, you're right. It was set up in the beginning.
He was great at that. Yeah. I agree. I wasn't entirely sure the whole way through where he stood. So I knew there was something sinister behind it, but it was still and it was confirmed at the very end in almost like the epilogue where, you know, he's writing a memo to the head of the CIA. So
yeah,
that outs him as a CIA guy. But
yeah.
Up until then, it's pretty cloudy what his actual, like, where he's funded from, what his motivations are, stuff like that.
Yeah, which is cool. Another thing that surprised me about this movie was just the scale of the first explosion, which, like, feels pretty accurate for, like, a hydrogen bomb type thing, but it was still, like, I mean, the CG looked like shit, all right? It was not good.
It did.
But, like,
it did.
Talking about the actual scale of it and, like, the damage, I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, we don't see stuff like that much, where it's, like, it feels like a realistic thing. And it's not like a superhero movie, right? It's like, no, this is literally just like a hydrogen bomb that went off in Chicago. Like, it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, I agree. I think the CG, you're right, is terrible, but it's like,
so bad.
It's like of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty sparingly used. It's just for the big explosions mainly. So
yeah,
at least you don't have to focus on it the whole time.
Yeah. I think it was funny, like, when Keanu's running away, when the place about to go, he, like, throws his helmet off of his motorcycle. He's like, I don't need my helmet. And then he starts, which, granted, after you see these size explosions, like, okay, you gotta save as much time as you can. But I was like, what a dramatic way to leave.
Definitely.
Yeah, and then, yeah, we gotta shout it out because we both, I felt really smart for catching it. I'm a little sad that you caught it too.
Sorry.
But, in this movie, there's a flower delivery that happens, and there's a guy who driving the van, and I look at him like, is that fucking Michael Shannon? And it was.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
Dude has one line. He's in the movie for 20 seconds, and it's Michael Shannon, like, Oscar-nominated actor Michael Shannon.
Yeah, one of the greatest actors of all time.
Unreal.
Yeah, so that was just really funny. Like I said, this movie is pretty stacked. Like, Brian Cox is a massive name now, and obviously Morgan Freeman and Keanu and Rachel Weisz and stuff, but... yeah, it's a solid movie. And I think the reason that more people haven't heard of it is that it's not bad enough to be so bad it's good.
No.
And it's not good enough to be, like, actually good.
Like Terminator or something, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, caught in that middle spot where it's, like...
It's like a fine hit. Action movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe this could also be a symptom of the time, because I wasn't watching a lot of movies when I was zero.
Yeah, since you're about 96.
But, you know, if every movie that came out was something like this, I can see how something like this would get lost in the shuffle, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, also, like,
it's not a typical
action movie plot, you know? This isn't like your typical, like, government agent badass kind of guy. This is like, these are kind of average people dealing with, like, a pretty serious problem that's, like, very relevant. Now, I think a lot of people don't really want to be faced with, like, actual real world problems when they're in an action movie, so maybe that was part of it.
Maybe.
But at the director, because I'm like, what else has this guy done? He did The Fugitive and Holes. I'm like, this is like an actual, like,
oh, okay,
director. And I haven't seen The Fugitive, but I imagine this movie is very Fugitive-esque, of just kind of like person on the run from the government.
Sure.
But yeah, Andrew
Holes
is no slouch.
Great.
It is great. Shout out to Holes. But yeah, and I want to say it one more time, but, like, the action design was really cool and had a lot of stuff that I haven't seen before, so I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, like, when a movie can throw out two set pieces that I've never seen anything like, it blows my mind, because we see the same schlock piled out there every time, and even some of the John Wick stuff gets a little recycled. Like, obviously there's the big staircase scene, which is... awesome, but there's still, I think, almost every John Wick movie there's, like, a fight scene in a nightclub, you know?
Yeah. And also, so, John Wick, like, he is, like, invincible, essentially. Like,
yeah.
In this movie, like, everything that's done, like, an average person could do, and that's because Keanu is playing, like, an average person. And it's, like, very believable.
And also, it's not like a bullet hell. It's just, it's a little bit more believable from the standpoint of, like someone might be able to survive this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said it before, but like the most inventive thing was using that tank to push open the door. I was like, yeah, that would actually work. Like, that's really cool. I've never seen that. It's great.
I don't know how well it would work.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I think the canister would then end up flying around the room.
Yeah, like, they had it lined up. They had it like locked in a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
But do you have any recommendations based on this movie?
It's just like, I don't know, other 90s action movies? Total Recall, maybe?
Yeah, Total Recall was great.
Yeah. It seems pretty run-of-the-mill, but I haven't seen too many movies that give me the same vibe.
Yeah. The only one I could think of that has similar kind of themes is like Kingsman.
Oh, sure.
That's a way more stylized and hyper violent and stuff, but the theme of it is kind of on the same lines as this. And it's a fucking great movie. Shout out to Kingsman. But yeah, there we go. That is our review of Chain Reaction. Honestly, Perk, good on you for picking this one.
I got you. You know, I'm picking gems out of the dumpster, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You probably would have never watched it ever if not 100%. For this podcast.
That's one of the things I like most about what we do here is we go through and we'll catch some movies that obviously we waste a lot of time watching movies I've seen before. But we'll go down some rabbit holes like this and be like, wait a second. There's a 1996 action movie with Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman in it.
Sign me up.
We gotta watch that.
Yeah. Gotta do it. There we go. Well, yeah. So before we reveal our watch next week, I do a little bonus review action. Perk didn't have time to watch any this week, but I got a couple for you.
All right. Let's hear it.
Very, very short. First one, finally finished Shrinking.
Good. I was going to ask.
Yeah, I had to take a few weeks off because of scheduling, but I got over to my friend's house. We finished it the other night. Man, I really like that show. I really, really like it. My only critique is that I feel like it could have been 9 episodes instead of 10. I feel like the last couple episodes, or last like 4 episodes could have been down to like 3 because there's a little bit of like, I hesitate to use the word filler, but like, yeah, a little bit fillerish kind of stuff in there. Besides that, I think the characters were phenomenal. The story was great. Comedy was just really on point. I think I like the comedy in it better than Ted Lasso. Which I mentioned last time we talked about it. But my big thing was, you know, without spoiling it, like, I was really curious to see how this would end because I feel like the main character needs some comeuppance for his actions. And I was thinking, like, depending on how they end this, I'd be okay with it being just one season, you know?
Yeah.
And we watched the last episode and it's getting close to the end. I'm just like, okay, are they really gonna, you know, leave it where it is? And then I really, really liked the way the show ends and sets up a season 2.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see where they go with it because, yeah, it kind of ends with a bang.
Yeah, and I think it needed that. Like, it needed something to kind of be like, yeah, he's not fully off the hook here because he doesn't really deserve it.
You know? No, and it feels like most of the rest of the cast is in a pretty good place at the end of the film, so at the end of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of with you, actually. I think potentially closing it after one season and just, you know, making sure everyone's in a good spot, I would have been okay with that. But, and like you mentioned with how you felt that the last few episodes were a little fillery, it is a sitcom, you know? It's got to keep going.
Is it, though? Like, would we still call this a sitcom? Like, this is like scripted shorter seasons. Like, when I think of a sitcom, it's like every episode is filler in that, like, we're just kind of meet the same status quo every single time. Like, this is like a scripted out show, you know?
Yeah, and as I had mentioned, I think my favorite part of the show is how pretty much every character has, like, counterplay with a different character, you know? Yeah. Like, there are moments between Sean and Harrison Ford's character. Character moments between Jessica Williams and the woman next door. Jesus,
the neighbor.
I really forgotten all this.
I'm also blanking. But I love that too. We don't see that a lot in a lot of shows, at least not done this well and to this, like, degree, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I have hope for the future. I hope they do something similar to Ted Lasso where they don't outstay their welcome.
Yeah.
And end where they want to end. Like, that. Yeah. I think that was the thing with Ted Lasso is they had a three-season arc defined.
Yep.
And that's what they wanted to do. And I hope Shrinking does something similar, although I'll take more of it for sure. I just had such a good time watching this show.
Yeah, it's a really special show, and I think a lot of people should make time for it. And I hope it picks up a lot of awards during award season. But I want to give a special shout out to my favorite character in the show, which is Derek, the neighbor's husband.
Yeah.
He's so fucking funny, dude. he's not in a lot, but he has some of the best lines of the show.
Great comedic relief, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Ted Lasso, just a quick little update. How are you feeling about the season so far? We're halfway done. Are you caught up?
I'm liking it so far. I think it's not to the heights of the first couple seasons for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're taking the characters in interesting ways. In particular, like certain relationships where it seemed like, you know, they were in a... I'm trying to be vague, but it seemed like they were in a pretty good spot. And then we start off... Or maybe things... Cracks were starting a show and we start off in a different direction. And
yeah.
But yeah, I think it's still... The humor still works for me. I think it's a little less joke heavy than the past seasons have been. But mainly I'm really looking forward to the resolution of the Ted and Nate storyline.
Yeah.
And I think we're already like, cause Nate was just painted as the big bad at the end of last season, but
yeah,
we're already seeing some, you know, slight, you know, bits of light coming out of his character a little bit, almost working his way back towards the good side. And I hope there's like a good cathartic moment with the two of them.
Oh, I'm sure we will. And I agree. I think so far I've been not as high in as other seasons, but I think now that we're halfway done and the end of last episode, we've kind of hit the turning point of like, okay, we were going downhill. Now we're going to start going uphill again. And I think we're going to end in a really, really satisfying spot.
I am also interested to see the conclusion of the teased subplot, which they haven't yet followed up upon. If you catch my drift.
There's a few.
Yeah.
Which character is it involved?
Trent Crim.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And I'm interested to see where they go with that. Honestly, I'm kind of hoping that they just don't.
I don't know. I feel like we need to see something there.
Well,
I think especially with Ted's speech at the end of last episode, I think we'll get something.
Are we talking about something different?
Maybe we are. We'll talk about after the podcast.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
I like the way, because I wasn't sure at the start of the season, but they've come back into the web of characters and they all seem to be on their own little journey, and I think it's setting up for hopefully a good finale.
Yeah, I think we'll get it. The last thing I wanted to talk about is just an anime that I've started called Hell's Paradise. This is a brand new one that's airing this season. There's only been three episodes so far. And I was going to wait until it was done to get my review on it, but I just want to give it a shout out to it for any people who are interested out there, because this shit is good. The premise perk is we're in, you know, Edo period Japan, you know, samurai, ninjas and stuff. And the government wants they think that an elixir of immortality exists. And they think it's on this island that whenever they send people there, they come back and they're dead and there's like plants coming out of them and it's like really creepy. And they're like, something's going on this island. We think that this elixir of life is there. So we're going to send a bunch of condemned criminals over there to try and find it. Kind of like Suicide Squad kind of a thing.
Sure. Yeah.
And each criminal is paired with an executioner. And if at any point the criminal acts out or tries to kill the executioner will just chop off their head and come back. And in order to... Oh, and if they get it, the reward is they get a full pardon for all their crimes. But in order to get that, they have to come back with the elixir and with the executioner still alive. So you kind of these pairs of people, executioner and criminal, going into this island, kind of Hunger Games-y as well, trying to find this elixir of life. And I really like the characterization of the main character and his executioner that's with them. I think they're really unique and like anime characters we haven't really seen before. And they're a nice pairing. And then the reason I'm shouting out is because the end of last episode, episode 3, shit has hit the fan already. Like, some characters I thought were going to be around all season are already dead. And, like, shit is just going wild. So, Yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out if you're interested, or maybe wait till the season's over and then watch all of it at once. But I think this is gonna be a good one. So I'm looking forward to continuing it. So
nice. Sounds like a fantastic premise, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And like the main character is like a ninja, like Naruto-esque, because he's got like fire jutsu and shit. And I'm like, that'll be cool to watch, you know.
Sure.
So yeah, check it out, Hell's Paradise. But that is the end of our episode for this week. Next week, Perk, what are we watching?
We're going to a movie I haven't seen for once. Jacob has seen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've seen it.
We're going to Point Break.
Hell yeah.
Another Keanu joint.
Which, Keanu and Swayze, baby.
Yeah. And this one is like a 90s action movie that everybody loves. So mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. everyone hates the movie we just watched, I can't even begin to imagine how good Point Break is going
to
be.
We're bringing you back, baby. Yeah, I'm super excited to watch this again. I've only seen it once, but I love Swayze in it, and Keanu's great as Keanu. So, yeah, next week, Point Break. That is on HBO Max. So a nice little easy streamer next week. But, yeah, until then, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.